Welcome to the People's Baptist Hour, heard weekly here on WOTC, winning others to Christ. This service is coming to you from People's Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia, with Pastor Richard Forsythe. We pray that God will use today's message to touch your heart, and if we can be of any help to you spiritually, please call area code 540-434-6554. Now let's join the service.
Been a special week. Bob Valier has been with us, Dr. Bob Valier. He's a good friend of us, good friend of the church. Been coming now for, many years.
Decades.
To People's Baptist Church, and we appreciate his counseling. He's been such a great help to many of our people.
Trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way, even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all.
Brightly does His Spirit shine into this poor heart of mine. While He leads, I cannot fall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Simply trusting, hear Him call. Simply trusting, Jesus, that is all. Singing, if my way is clear, praying, if the path be drear, if in danger for Him call, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting Him while life shall last, trusting Him till earth be past, till within the jasper wall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Simply trusting, hear Him call. Simply trusting, Jesus, that is all. Simply trusting, Jesus, that is all.
Amen. Amen. That's not just like beautiful music like that. I don't know how anyone can listen to the other stuff that's out there. Music that hits your hip before your heart doesn't belong in church. And that one touches our hearts today. Thank you for that. I wish my wife could be here. We talked yesterday, and she confirmed 10 and a half pounds. Boy. And we said that jokingly about the Green Bays. She had knitted a Green Bay Packer helmet to put on the baby with the big G on the side, green G. Oh, my. I got pictures of that one, too. So, anyways, I sure they appreciate your prayers. My wife is a ER nurse, so my daughter wanted mom there to help deliver the baby. So my wife gone over there, and she's had a part in it, and she's done that for a couple of grandchildren. And we have now 7. And I don't know if I can afford any more. Men, you know this. Grandmas have no guilt at all what they spend on grandkids. And so, anyways, we're there at that stage, and these grandkids, okay. Turn to your Bible this morning, book of Genesis. I'm reading, going to read in Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13, and we're going to go down from verse 8. Genesis chapter 13, verse 8, and we'll go down to verse 12. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. You know there's Southerners in this Bible here. We be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. And if thou wilt take the left hand, I will go to the right. And if thou wilt depart to the right hand, I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed the Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like unto the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. And then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from another. And Abraham dwelt in the land of the Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plains, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that, Lot separated himself from him. Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place whence thou art, northward, southward, eastward, westward, for the land which thou seest, will I give it to thee, and seest it, and then thee I will give it, and thy seed forever. Lord God, add us blessings. Let's pray. Our Father, we come again and thank you for this truth from thy word and what we're going to receive, and thank you, Lord, for feeding our hearts with this example of a giver and a taker. Lord, I pray that today you would use this message to change our hearts and lives. We ask your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. When Abraham and Lot were out there and they faced strife with each other. We be brethren. I like that. We're Southern. We're brethren. But there was strife there, and strife filled the circumstance so much so that Abraham said to Lot, if thou wilt take to the left hand, I will go to the right hand. And Lot only had to lift his eyes up and see the well-watered plains of Jordan. And, you know, when you've got well-watered plains, you've got plenty of water, your crops are going to grow, your curds are going to multiply, and you're just going to have a lot more wealth if you go down that direction. And so what had happened, the key decision is not whether you're going to take the well-watered plains or you're going to take the dry desert land. The key decision in everyone's life is, are you a giver or a taker? Because one person gave up something and the other one was taking something. Like Abraham, a giver is more likely to do whatever is necessary to make peace. Don't you like to be around those people? They don't want to argue. That's the last thing I want to do, is get in an argument. Go ahead, you win before you even start. I mean, let's get it over with. We don't need to argue about anything like that. And a giver just gives in. And some people say, well, the giver is the weaker person. No, he's the wiser person. Because there's no strife. What good is it if you win the argument and you win the battle, but you lose the war? You know what I'm saying? You haven't got anywhere. And many times couples go through the same stage in their own marriage. Abraham was a giver. A giver is more as gives out and are more likely to just give in. But takers, like Lot, they take what they think is best for them. You know, some people, if you give them a choice, they're going to take what is the best. You watch them at church time, and they're going to take not just the piece of pie, but they're going to take the biggest piece of pie, and then they got the most whipped cream on top of it. They want just what's best for them. Now, that's just a very simple, elementary example, but a giver, he said, who cares? Let there be no strife. And there's a lot of strife in people's lives, because how did it get there? Because we allowed it. We put it there. And we want to fight over some of this silliest things. You know, you pulled the covers off the last night and I froze. Who cares? You know, it's make an issue of something, but that's not worth making an issue. It's not even worth a wooden nickel for that, trying to discuss it. But some people are just takers, and they're going to make an issue of something no matter what. And, you know, and then when they make this issue and they have this little tidbit, a little bit, temper starts to rise a little bit, and then one person gets really mad at the other one. Look, you know what I find? Too many couples are trying to fix the blame rather than fix the problem. Who cares who is to blame? Let's just fix the problem. But a taker doesn't want to fix the problem. He wants to fix the blame. And you know, here, I'm going to say this to the young people. You keep yourself morally pure. Because what's going to happen if you're not morally pure before your marriage, you end up with two takers getting married, and then you got a battle. And you wonder why, hey, I thought this was a wonderful marriage. Yeah, well, what happened is you got two takers together and didn't have enough respect for each other before they got married. Now they're after they're married, and you wonder what's going on. And those marriages don't tend to last very long. And we got a whole nation of takers out there. Wow. Isn't it nice just to give in? Who cares? You win the battle, but you lose the war. Takers always take what they think is best for them, even if it isn't best for them. Their focus is always on themselves. A giver's concern is, what can I do to help? I love to have it when I come to a church and we need someone to help do this and clean the parking lot or wash, do something, and we ask for volunteers. You know what I always find? The givers are the first ones to volunteer. Takers, oh, I'm too busy for that. Well, how did you get so busy? Because you doesn't does someone hold a gun to your head and say, this is what you got to do? No, what happens is sometimes we get so busy doing what we want to do, we have no time for God. Well, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. You know, the favorite phrase of a taker is, gimme, gimme, gimme. Yeah, gimme, gimme. Givers are always busy and always find time for others. We want to volunteer, ask someone who's busy, and sure enough, that's the person who's going to come, and they'll always have find time to do it. A taker looks for the path of least resistance, and they find time for themselves, but they don't have find any time to help others. A taker's life is always a self-centered life. It's built around them. And they're not looking for how they can help others. They're looking over there and saying, I'm going to take care of myself. And those people who put themselves first often have the more conflicts than others who are givers. You know, I mean, some people just go looking for a fight. And some marriages, you got a taker and you got a giver. And those takers, you know what? They're the ones who are going to start up and make an issue of something that you shouldn't even bring it up. Well, you didn't wipe your feet off, and I just swept the floor. Why even complain? A giver just says, I'm going to clean it up. I don't know about you, but I'm one of those. I was going to get some gas down here, down on the highway here, and get some gasoline. And I pulled up, and there at the pump was all this trash that somebody just threw out of their car. Now, what kind of person will just say, well, look, my gas is pumping over here, and I'm right there by the hose, and so I'm going to go pick up all this stuff, and I have a little trash bag, and I'm going to go throw it in the dumpster. I look for that kind of person. If I was hiring somebody, I'm going to look for someone who not just does what he's supposed to do, he does what, over and above what he's supposed to do. He's always looking for something to do. In the military, you'd say, that's not my job. You know what I would say? If you see it, it's your job, Private. Get over and do it. They ain't saying anything. Yes, sir. But that's not how a lot of parents raise their kids. Yeah. And you raise your kids to be takers. I'm glad my kids are out there as missionaries today. Praise God for that. I don't like the idea of my wife being gone for a month or so, but that's the other part of the plan. Givers said, hey, we can help. And in churches, givers come to church looking to serve the Lord. And they want to be a servant. Takers come to church to be served. Well, I don't go back to that church. I didn't get anything out of that church service. You know, if you're not getting anything out of it, get involved and do something, contribute something to it. Someone said, I didn't get anything out of it. Well, go start the Awana program up. Keys for Kids or something. Let's get going something here. And then you'll get a whole lot more out of it. But when you're saying, I don't get anything out of that church service, well, it's telling me that you're not serving and you're looking for what they can give you rather than what you can contribute. And when you're looking for what you can get rather than what you can contribute, you're going to end up on the short end of the stick there. Takers always wants what's best for them. Their attitude is, what's in it for me? Even when times are tight, he keeps on giving. A taker may give a tithe, but when he gives his tithe, he doesn't expect anything in return. And I've heard this, and Pastor, I'm sure you've heard this. People said, well, I'm not coming back, and you're not getting my tithe anymore either. Wait a minute. It's not the preacher's tithe, it's God's tithe. And then you go there and make a threat and say, look, if you don't treat me right here, they don't care about me. Listen, it's not that the preacher doesn't care about it. We care about a lot of people. And we don't have time to go everybody out there. And a taker says, well, he didn't care about me. Well, get out there and get involved. And you know, you don't do it because you want attention. Again, the military said, son, it's your duty. Young man, it's your duty. Do it. Well, we already picked the trash up. Go pick it up again. You know, and I'll find out after a while, I start to make a man out of one of those guys. And now they start to be a servant. We need people who want to be a servant for the Lord, not just what they're going to get, but what will they give? I find it, hey, this, you can always see a giver in a church service because they're the kind that take notes. You know why they're taking notes? Because they want to go teach someone else the same messages. I just love it. I went out of here last night about 10 o'clock, and I found in the place where I'm staying, there was some video, some videos. Nobody knows what those are. And there was a sermon on there. I said, look, I got to go take notes and just listen to this. Yeah, a giver wants to share what he has given. A giver wants to keep on giving. A good barometer who is a giver or a taker in a church is watch who sings during the service. A giver has a joy of the Lord, and they want to sing even if they're not on tune. Yeah, I couldn't tell you a note from Do, Re, Mi, So, Fo, whatever all those letters are. I couldn't tell you even what they are. But I'm going to try to sing the best I can. And he better sing loud up here because I don't want to sing louder than he does. So anyways, a giver. Yeah, why? Because if I start singing, I might get him really off key and I messed up already. A giver just keeps on singing because the joy of the Lord is in the heart. And in churches, a giver wants to serve. And a giver doesn't want just one day, one service a week. One service a week is not enough for a giver. A taker, hey, once a month is enough sometimes. We want givers to say, I'm going to keep giving and keep giving. And because why? It's not my life, it's God's. God breathed in me the breath of life, and God created me to bring glory to his Son and Jesus Christ. Givers come to serve the Lord. And taking the next step in churches, but in marriages, takers will eventually take away the very relationship that keeps them alive. It's never wise to have two takers to marry each other. Why? Because there's going to be constant conflict. And when you get two takers together, they start to have expectations from each other. Friends, expectations ruin relationships. Just chew on that a minute. When you get married and you get all these expectations, and then someone doesn't fulfill all these Prince Charming expectations or whatever. And what happens? Now you start to fix the blame. Well, usually I find when you get two takers together, when you get two takers together, one tries to fix the blame or both of them try to fix the blame and it ends up in a very unhappy marriage. And I could say this, young people, keep yourself morally pure. Amen. keep yourself morally pure, because what will happen, listen, young men, listen, young lady here, what will happen is when you got two takers before they're getting married, and then they get married and think this is going to be great. No, you got still two takers who are taking and dishonoring each other and disrespectful each other. And after you're married, what do you got? The same thing. You can't have two takers and expect to have something work out wonderful. I love it when I see a young couple, a Christian couple, they both want to go serve the Lord and they want to go on the mission field and wherever. My, I look at it and say, praise God, my wife and I, we were able to serve the Lord in the Amazon and as a pilot and she as a nurse. Boy, we've had a lot of, I say fun. No, we've been out there where we had to get the mice out of the ceilings before we went to bed at night. You know, just that kind of place. But, you know, if you're going to be a giver, that doesn't bother you. What does bother you is when you see one of your little young people that their parents won't let them come to church. That hurts. That hurts a whole lot more than, you know, we had drinking water. We had a 50-gallon drum in back of our house, and the water ran off the roof of our house, and it ran down a PVC pipe into the 50-gallon drum. And then on the bottom of the 50-gallon drum, we have a PVC pipe that came out and then into the house so that we had running water as long as it had rain. Well, I remember one day I said, the water is not running too good. I mean, I can see from the thing outside that it's got 3/4 full, but the water is not running. And I couldn't figure out what's going on. Now, what am I going to do? Call Joe's Plumbing Company? Not out there in the jungle. That's why you need some givers. He says, I'm going to keep on giving no matter what. I'm there because God put me there. Well, we figured out what it was. We crawled up on a ladder and got up and looked down into that 50-gallon drum that was up to the second story. And we looked in there, and there was a dead macaw parrot been in there rotting for days. And we've been taking a shower in this. Yeah, you know what? We said, praise God. We got water again. Not, oh, no, there's a parrot up there and it's been dead and we've been bathing in it. No. Hey, we need some givers that says, I'm going to go wherever God wants me to go, no matter what the circumstance. That song, Lord, send me, I think it was Ron Hamilton wrote that. Lord, send me anywhere, only go with me. Sever any tie that binds me to someone else's heart and to keep me to God's heart. That's a giver today. Takers, when they come to church, they continually find fault. Or in marriage, they'll say, well, she doesn't meet my needs anymore. He doesn't love me anymore. Takers destroy each other. And strong takers destroy not only each other, but they destroy others around them. Look at Abraham and Lot. You know, if Abraham said, no, I'm going to take the well-watered plains. Now, you got the picture here. Lot's got all this well-watered plains over here. And Abraham said, look, I'll take this over here. Now, what did he give up? Well, when you're living in an agrarian society, that means they're all farmers. If you didn't grow it, you didn't eat it, all right? So this is what Abraham's looking at. And he says to Lot, we be brethren. And gives it over to Lot, all the well-watered plains. Don't pray that God will make you rich. Don't pray you win the lottery ticket or anything like that. Pray that God give you a heart that's content wherever you are. Takers, wherever God puts them, thank God, I'm still here. But takers, they want something that's, even if God doesn't bless it, how can he want to go down to where the wicked people of Sodom are? And then eventually, you know what happened a lot? He became one of the Sodomites. They got what they wanted, but they didn't want what they got. When both are givers, there's rarely a divorce. John 3:16 is the greatest example of lifelong giving. For God so loved the world, he what? Gave. He keeps on giving and keeps on giving. And who did he give his life for? Some unworthy sinners. Some people will say, well, I'll give, but they're not worth it. I'm not going to help them. They never helped me, so I'm going to help them. Look, that's not the barometer you want to use. You want to say, look, what did I do? What can I do to make a difference? And even if they might step on your toes and doing something, they may criticize you. You know what? He that a contrary part will eventually have nothing to say evil about you because you keep on giving even when things are not going your way. God's going to judge them. I'm going to keep on giving and keep on giving. Joseph, you know, think of Joseph in prison. There's an example of giving in prison. He kept on giving. Even when he was wrongfully accused, Joseph ended up in prison and wrongfully accused and everything was taken away from him. What did he do? He kept on giving. Abraham gave to Lot, and God gave his only begotten son to us, didn't he? Amen. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friends, count your blessings today that you can be a giver. And the question, the key question this morning is, are you a giver or a taker? Where do you fall in? Well, sometimes I'm a giver and sometimes I'm a taker. In other words, some days I don't feel like I'm in the flesh. I don't want to be in the flesh. And the next day I give to the flesh. Don't give into the flesh. Keep on giving. You know, when someone doesn't treat you right, someone just shortchanged you or something, or some guy worked on your place and it fell apart the next day after he did it and it didn't work. Look, keep on giving. Keep on giving. Whenever I call tech support, and I call tech support at least once or twice a week for my computer stuff, and I always want to just pour out compliments. Even if they didn't get the thing fixed on the computer, thank you for trying. Thank you. You know, and I found it, as soon as you start complimenting someone, even if they didn't do the job right, they open their heart up to you. And now I can say, look, I had one lady, I said, you spent over an hour trying to fix my computer, and this thing is not working right, and it's still not working, and you're telling me I need to go take it in and have some hardware replaced? Okay, I guess so. And I said, well, thank you, ma'am. You gave me at least the solution to the problem is what I can do. Next step, I always say before I hang up with anyone on tech support, or they won't let you do this, the IRS, brother. But at tech support, I always ask them, now that you've done something for me, can I do something for you? Oh, no, Mr. Valier, we can't let you do anything for us. That's just our job. I said, well, you won't let me do it, but I'm going to do something anyways for you, something special. And I'm sure nobody's ever asked you this before. Can I just pray for you? And before they answer, I always start praying out loud. That's a giver. Keep on giving and keep on giving. Even when they don't expect it, even if they don't deserve it, keep on giving and keep on giving. Givers care for others. Takers must be cared by others. And their focus is on themselves. In Genesis 13, 8 through 13, where we just read, a giver is more likely to do whatever is necessary to make the peace. They don't want to stir up strife. They don't want to have conflict. Takers always take what they think is best for them. Takers will eventually take away the very relationship that's keeping them going. They're controllers. You know, people like that, they got to be in charge of everything. They're in charge. They want to control all the circumstances. Just give in. You don't have to be the top dog every time. Just keep on giving in and be a peacemaker. Contrary, a giver is one who refreshes your spirit. They're a blessing to be around. Friends, you cannot outgive God today. Keep on giving. Keep on giving. Keep giving. And you know, recognize God's blessings. Takers, God can keep blessing them, and they'll say, well, God hasn't blessed me like you. Oh, God's blessed every one of us a whole lot more than we all deserve, because if we all got what we had, none of us would be here. Train your children, parents. Train your children to be givers. You know, what's the favorite word of a child? Mine. Mine. No, we want to say, hey, my son has three daughters and one boy. And he's like to say, it's mine. It's mine. And boy, this is hard for him to go give it to his sisters. I'm going to keep on after and keep after and say, keep giving them. Hey, go take some of your toys and go give it to them. But they're my toys. Yeah, well, look, give it to them. Well, they can play with their dolls. Well, give them your toys too. I'm just trying to teach them that they need to be givers, not takers. Mark 10:45, Jesus came, and the Bible says Jesus came and he gave what? He gave himself. He gave his life a ransom. A toddler's favorite phrase, it's mine, and if it's broken, it's yours, right? That's the way young people are. Once a child grows up a taker, it's very difficult to have them change from that. You teach your children to be takers, and what do? You're going to find out later on, it'll come out in their marriage too. And in their grandchildren, they'll be in takers. When two givers come together, I say they rarely ever get divorced, because they don't want to get any strife. They just give in. And the famous last word in a marriage, the famous last word in a marriage of two takers was, what's the famous last words of two takers in a marriage? I just can't take it anymore. That's the famous last words. Yeah, when you get to that point, you got to wonder, when you start to say, I just can't take it anymore, are you the taker or the giver? Well, I just can't take it anymore. I'm asking the question, who's the taker and who's the giver? You can choose to be a taker or you can choose to be a giver. Look at Ruth and Naomi. Ruth said this, your God will be my God. Not everything ought not to be yours. It's someone else's. Because, you know, everything you have is going to go to someone else anyways when you take your last breath. So my neighbors sit over there and our properties butt each other. You know, here's a giver. Look, I'll go buy the grass seed and then I'll put the dirt down and then you can just spray with the water. Or better yet, I'm not asking anything. Just go do something like that. I like that sneaky giving. You know, you'd run up on someone's door and put a bouquet of flowers right on the front door and shut the door and run. I like to do sneaky giving. You ever done any of that? Sneaky giving. You know, you send a gift card to someone for $50. I mean, not one of those $5 gift cards. Doesn't get you a bottle of pop. And it gets you a half a hamburger maybe. But send one of those nice big $50 gift cards to someone who's having a hard time and don't put any name down who gave it to them. Don't you just like doing stuff like that? That's the giver. I had someone, this goes back about November, last year. Some friends of ours, and I said, they asked me to come back to their house after dinner. And we've known them since early days at Bob Jones. So that's years ago. But it was a long time anyways. And as we're going back to the house, they said, we're going to fix some things up, warm some things up. And I said, oh, hey, can I use your car just a minute? I need to go down and get something at the store right now. And the store is like just going down here, down the bottom of the hill, a little ways. It's going to take me 2 or 3 minutes. But at the bottom of the hill was a gas station. That car was on empty all the way. And I'm thinking, we're going to run on gas on I-5 out here and it's going to get stuck. And go down to somewhere and you take that car and fill it up to the top with a full tank of gas. You know, I don't care if they thank me or not. I hope they don't even know who did it. I just want to be a giver. And all of us, you know, if we can just get a church full of givers. I was in one church that the pastor called it a flying five. He said, seems like every week there's people giving out these $5 bills. And someone preached on this, being a giver, I mean, giving out money. And he says, people are giving $5 bills. It's going around the auditorium. There's a church full of givers helping each other out, inviting each other for dinner. They're home for dinner. Givers, by the way, never want to be on welfare. Ruth chose to be grateful, but she didn't. She and Boaz had a wonderful marriage because you had two givers. Joseph, you know what? Joseph was in prison. And what did he do in prison? He kept on giving. Even if you had everything taken away from you, he found himself in prison. He kept on giving. He kept on giving. Being a giver is the only reasonable lifestyle we ought to have today. It's the only reasonable lifestyle. A giver will refuse to take anything that it's not supposed to have. You say, well, you know, if you just put this down on your taxes here, you'll get this extra money. Well, if you're not supposed to have it, don't put it down. Wow. Do we say enough right there? If it's not right and you can't even, if you don't know what the number is, just better not put it in there if you don't know what it is then. Then it puts it there and then have someone call you later on. Well, how'd you get the number? I guessed at it. Well, then how'd you get to sign your name on something and sign the name on that form when you said it was true? You know, it's awful embarrassing when someone else finds out that you just fudged something to get something your way. That's a taker, though. Takers will take it even if God doesn't want to have it. You can be poor, friends. You can be poor and be a giver. And you can be a rich and you can be a giver. But it's not worth tearing out someone else down to build yourself up. It's never worth to tear someone else down to build yourself up and prove your point. Choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I look over in Luke 17, there's 10 lepers, and only one gave thanks. 10 lepers are healed, and only one gave thanks. Mark 20, 14, Matthew, chapter 20, verse 14. It doesn't matter which you give. I mean, how much does you give? Just keep on giving. I'm not going to put a price on my giving. Well, they didn't treat me kind. Well, go pour some hot coals on their head. And the waitress is kind of sarcastic. Maybe she got someone just didn't treat her right. Maybe she had a bad day at home or something. Maybe her kid's going through some trials or medical problems. You don't know what they're going through. Hey, leave a nice tip. Yeah. Don't say God bless you and walk out and do nothing. Yeah. Do something really nice. All these things the Bible tells us, Matthew chapter 4, verse 9, even Satan was self-motivated. Yeah, all these things will I give thee. What did he took up on the pinnacle and he said, I'll give you all this. I don't care what you're going to give me. It's what can I give you? But we don't need to be tempted by what someone else is going to give us. We don't have to treat other people the same way they treat you. Hey, the best thing you can do is, hey, be a giver, regardless of how they treated you. Takers have an unbiblical focus of life. That is, their life revolves around themselves. And people who are all wrapped up in themselves make a very lonely package in life. Which one are you this morning? Are you a giver or a taker? Which one? Takers tend to be more self-focused, while givers more concerned about others and reaching a goal to help others. You know, it thrills my heart when I see some guy all dressed up with a uniform on. It thrills me. We are a military family. I lost my brother in Vietnam. It thrills me every time I see this. And I thank God for those they gave it all. They gave everything. And that's why I want to go up there and say, sir, let me just say thank you. Let me shake your hand. A lot of people don't do that. And some people just do it out of habit and don't mean a word. And I'd rather have someone not do it and not mean it. But someone goes up there and said, I can be a blessing to someone else. You see someone on the side of the road and some woman's trying to jack the car up and it's got a flat tire. Hey, I'm going to stop. Well, I'm too busy. You're not too busy to be kind. Be a giver. Keep on giving. What's true of you today? Which one would you fit in? Reaching a giver requires very few messages. They don't have to be told. That's just the way they want to be. And they're not looking at what they're going to get in return. It's just, I want to keep on giving. Whether they're going to give me or not. You know something? As a giver, I get more out of it than someone else has given it to me. Keep looking for ways to give. Friends, expectations ruin relationships. When someone says, well, I'm not going to give because they don't give to me. You know, that kind of expectation will ruin a relationship. Is that the kind of price you want to put on your relationship? I'm going to keep on giving because there is no price. Christ didn't put any price on us. He kept on giving. He gave his son to die for us. Takers say their mate is not listening. You ever heard that? You're not listening to me. You get some people get real hot-tempered and they'll yell at each other, and you're not listening. Oh, my. Yeah. Yelling at each other doesn't solve the problem anyways. It just shows that both you're in the flesh. But someone just says, okay, it doesn't matter whether I'm right or wrong, because that's not the point. Let's fix the problem, not just fix the blame. Givers don't want to fix blames. They just want to fix the problem. And usually when you get a taker, affection becomes one-sided. In marriage, that's a one-sided relationship. When you get two takers together, yeah. A giver sometimes has to ask for affection. Yeah, a taker is more self-absorbed. A giver is other-orientated. They're users. Takers are users. They use others and rather than, look what the Bible says, it's more blessed to give than receive. I'm glad this morning, when I look at this idea of giver and taker, I like that verse that says, for God loved the whole world, that he gave his only begotten Son. Hear that? He gave his only Son for you and I. How about you being a giver this morning? It doesn't matter who's on top. Who's top dog? Hey, the top dog up there who's thinking, yeah, I won this. Who cares if he won it? You win the war, lost the battle, and you lost the relationship. Just keep on giving and keep on giving. Let's bow our heads and pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've given to us this morning, and thank you for the message, Lord. I pray that you would help us not to be like Lot, but like Abraham. We be brethren. Lord, let there be no strife ever in this church. And Lord, may this church be filled with givers. Thank you, Lord, for the sacrifice so many have given to help this mortgage get paid off. And thank you, Lord, for people who've given so that our missionaries may be supported and go out to the foreign field. And Lord, thank you for those who've given their time to teach teach the Sunday school classes. And thank you, Lord, for people who come over here even at the late hour of night and just go through and cleaning the floors, washing the bathroom floors and emptying the trash, and nobody knows they're doing it. Thank you, Lord, for those kind of people who keep on giving. Lord, if we're a taker here, I pray, Father, you would root that out of us. Make us to be givers today as you've given your only begotten Son. If we ask your blessings in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We trust that God used today's message to work in your life. If you are unsure of where you'll spend eternity, don't let another day go by without getting the answer. If we can be of spiritual help, please call area code 540-434-6554.